Hi there, and welcome to this episode of A Couple Takes on MS. Hi, I'm Dan Digman.
And hi, it's me, Jennifer Digman.
And we're A Couple Takes on MS. I'm walking.
I'm rolling.
But together, we're moving forward. And what we're talking about today is accountability. And that's like, what do you, that's not a symptom or anything of MS. And but it really, something came up with Jennifer and me, and it's like, who are you accountable to and what's holding you accountable in your life with multiple sclerosis?
And quickly, I think it's important to tell everyone when we're talking about accountability, we're talking about taking responsibility for our own actions.
And that sounds so grown up.
It sounds grown up, and I will be the first to admit that sometimes I fall victim to schlepping things off on others and saying, well, I can't cut up my own food, so I have to eat what people help me eat. And my accountability is saying, no, silly, just, you know, take some agency and make better choices. It's easier to eat pizza, but you can take the accountability and say, I could eat some celery or an apple or something. So that's, for me, that's one example of accountability. But Dan, how are you thinking accountability?
Well, I think this all came up because we are so bad, incredibly bad when it comes to getting our sleep. And so you ask Jennifer's caregiver, Jen, that pretty much if Jen had a dollar every day of the week, that she comes in and we say, we have got to go to bed earlier tonight. We're going to bed earlier. That I think we, as two grown-ups, as it were, we live as though we're 12 years old and do not know when to go to bed. And it's either whether it's binging TV shows or if it's just playing on our phones, computer, writing, homework, whatever. We do not get nearly that when they say like 7 to 9 hours of sleep and we at best get six. And for two people living with multiple sclerosis, no wonder we're groggy and dragging every morning and then rely on coffee to wake us up. But we, in a recent visit to our neurologist, she's doing a big study, research study on sleep. And it's really, we are part, she recruited us, as it were, to be a part of this sleep study. And so now we have somebody monitoring our sleep. And it's really, we've gotten better sleep because there's somebody watching us. Dr. Braley is watching us. And so then all of a sudden, if we're getting 5 hours of sleep, you just feel like she's probably just shaking her head and just like, I'm so disappointed in you guys. But it's just having that outside influence, that thing that holds you accountable beyond what you could do for yourself. And it's easier to excuse it off if it's me delaying or like the bad behavior. But it's when somebody else is watching. I mean, for the same reason when people work out and they say they're going to the gym, you're more apt to go to the gym if you have somebody you're supposed to meet there to lift weights, to run, to do yoga, whatever, as opposed to you just going yourself.
And that person would be an accountability buddy. And it's funny, you and I often comment that we will do things for someone else. Mm-hmm. If we have to write an essay, or you have to do homework for grad school, we will do that if it is for another person. But if it's just for ourselves, we don't, you know, we put ourselves last. So when we're tired and Jen's like, just like over and over again having to hear us complain about being tired, we won't do anything about it. But because we're participating in this study, we are getting that 7 hours of sleep. Granted, we're not going to bed until midnight and getting up at 7 in the morning, but it's still 7 hours.
And that's where it is, this, that all sleep matters. I mean, and that's where it's the big question of consistency and the circadian rhythm and everything like that. As long as you're consistent and doing the midnight to seven, I think that's where we'd always said, we're going to bed earlier and we're getting up earlier. Well, it's like when I don't get out of work till like 6 o'clock at night, well, trying to get dinner and homework and doing everything else, thinking that I would be ready to go to bed by 10 o'clock, we need to give ourselves some latitude, but it is, just that accountability. I guess my question for you then, Jennifer, is why do we not hold ourselves accountable? Why do we not think that we're important enough to be accountable? Or is it easy to just let things slough off because I don't have it done, but that's on me because I'm the only one who expected it done?
I think that is true. But also, when you don't realize, I know that when Dan, you and I had a doctor's appointment, a neurology appointment, and Dr. Brady, we were talking about our lack of sleep. And she said, you know, guys, it's really not that difficult. So you go to bed 15 minutes earlier and you wake up 15 minutes later. Boom, that's another half hour of sleep. And you and I had never, because we're both all or nothing kind of people, mm-hmm. we hadn't realized just 15 minutes here, 15 minutes there, and you're getting more sleep. And for me, when I went back to Weight Watchers and realized that when you're tired, you make bad choices. I mean, be honest, how many times are we binge watching television entirely too late at night? And you say, ooh, wouldn't some Chex cereal be good?
Or popcorn.
And so we do that, whereas if you are rested and you have your eyes on the prize of trying to lose weight, you'll say, you know, I'll wait until it's like a better time to eat or I'm not so tired. Now I will eat the food and enjoy it and I won't be like fighting to keep my eyes open while I'm chewing.
Or figure, well, we need to stay up for this episode, so as long as we have popcorn to eat, that will keep us awake. And I think something you had told me once when we were dating and I was living here in Mount Pleasant, you were down in Grand Blanc, and I was hungry, and you said what your Aunt Polly had told you is like, what do skinny people do?
Go to bed hungry.
And that's, that stuck with me, that it's just like, okay, tubby, you know, just, but it, so what about everybody out there in listener land? I mean, do you hold yourself accountable and how do you stay on track with things? Or are you like us that it's that you're struggling with that to stay in check and hold yourself accountable? And just let us know. You can just email at a couple takes on MS at gmail.com just to touch base. And it's just like, do you struggle holding yourself accountable? Or do you need somebody there to hold your feet to the fire? Or do you manage it? And if so, then how do you do it? What are the secrets you have? Because it is, and that's where now with Dr. Braley, the sleep study, we're doing better with that. But then what about other things? I guess my question, or just as I'm thinking, is like, I never feel like I have to hold myself accountable when it comes to taking care of my disease. I don't ever say, oh, I don't feel like going and getting my infusion. I don't feel like doing this. I mean, I just really think that my health with the disease is one thing that I really, really find is important.
And I agree with you. But I also have the point that we use our disease, I hate to say, as an excuse, but sometimes we give ourselves more of a pass. You know, I'm tired. I've got MS. And it was a long day, or I got up early.
And I promise I will go to bed early. I promise I will eat better tomorrow.
Yes.
I promise if we just have pizza one last time, this will be the last
this
time.
This will be the last time.
Until tomorrow night.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I think as much as we want to stay proactive and use our disease modifying therapy and get our symptom management under control and be diligent in taking those, we can also cut ourselves a little slack, which is necessary, but there's a fine line. You don't want to do too much. But I know that there are other things with accountability. I mean, do you want to talk about Stella?
We can talk about Stella. Do you want to let everyone know who Stella is and what happened there?
Stella, she's still alive. She is a beautiful old English bulldog that Dan and I entertained adopting.
We had pretty well said, this is happening. And
she was beautiful. And we met her 2 weeks ago. We made an hour drive from our house to meet her and to see her in person. And we were absolutely 100% going to get this dog. And then we met Stella. And we met her owners, who are beautiful people. And they were really sad to have to give up Stella, but it was just not a good homing situation for Stella right then. And so we met her and we liked her, but we got in the car and we drove and made an hour to talk about the reality that Stella, we were going to be accountable to Stella.
And that's where the sense of the accountability that a dog would hold us to. And it's not that we would not love the dog, but it's not using MS as an excuse. It's just using MS as a reality that, you can't take a dog out. I mean, Stella's a puppy. I mean, she was only a year old or is only a year old. And how realistic is that? And we have so many trips planned. And the thought, people say, well, just take the dog with you. But it's like, those are the realities then that, I as your caregiver, and if we're driving back to Iowa, I have to drive the whole time. Mm-hmm. And then to help you go to the bathroom on our breaks, take and walk the dog during our breaks. And then it's like, oh, we'll get friends to watch her. But then, what happens when it gets cold in the winter and my hands don't work and I have to take the dog outside, or I don't walk well, and then to walk around the neighborhood on the snow and ice. Mm-hmm. And I think it is just everything in theory about having a dog, and we want a dog, but it's just like, I think that was a great reality check for us, that it took that, getting that close, like being on the precipice of puppydom. That it's just, you really have to stop and take a good, solid look at that. And it wasn't good. And I think that's where even having another being to hold you accountable, then you realize what that looks like when you are two people living with a disease like multiple sclerosis.
You are two people with a progressive disease. And sure, we could make excuses, but it was that reality that, God willing, Stella is going to be alive for 10, 12 more years. And to look out at that and say, oh my goodness, in 10 years, are we still going to be, right now, Dan, if I took Stella for a walk, I couldn't go by myself. Mm-hmm. I don't think I have the strength in my arms. She was a smaller dog, but
she packed a punch of power.
She did. And what if she did have to use the bathroom on the walk? It's not like very well I can get down and pick up a turd. Part of my expression. That was a little more, I'm a little more like.
No, but I mean, that's just
in a wheelchair, that would be difficult. So those things, those realities. And I already feel, and I'm sure there are those of you out there who count on your caregiver or your your spouse or partner. I feel that I already have so much and I'm not a burden, but that B word, that I feel like I put so much on you, Dan, that, you know, when the puppy has to go outside at 8 a.m. or 6 a.m, I'm not going to be the one getting out of bed, springing up to let her out. That responsibility would all rely on your shoulders. So it was a true conversation and accountability. And so I think we made the right choice.
I think so too. I know we did. And this isn't to say to everyone out there in listener land that, you know, you have multiple sclerosis, you can't have a dog. I mean, that's, for as much as the disease impacts everybody differently and everyone has a different course, you know, I know lots of people with MS that live alone and have a dog, but then,
or parents that have children.
Yeah.
Because a dog is not a child. That's such a bigger responsibility. But like so many in our community say, MS is a snowflake disease and it treats us all and it looks different on each of us. And for you and me, our reality was that we just were not ready to own a dog right now.
Well, and I think that's the big thing too. It's because like when you and I got married and everyone, you know, granted we were a lot younger. I mean, it's still able to have children, but it's just, that was our conscious decision that it's like, this was going to, that would be way more than we could handle. Mm-hmm. And it's not selling ourselves short. It's just looking at what the reality is. And I think that's where, you know, and on that level, it's like, well, we were being accountable to ourselves because we knew what we could and couldn't do. And so,
and we knew what our future plans were. And we knew the different days and trips and things that we would be away from Stella, and we would have to find a puppy sitter, or we would have to take her with us.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that interestingly, this past weekend, we did something and we were going to come back from our trip and pick up Stella, but we didn't because we had made those decisions, but we did go on the trip. Thank you very much, Dan Digman. That was beautiful.
Happy early birthday.
Yes. You want to tell everybody what you're talking about?
Of course. I mean, before we go into it, I do want to say though, just before we recorded this episode of the podcast, we are happy to report that Stella did find a permanent home.
That's true.
Able to find her a loving family that'll be able to take care of her. And obviously, has more flexibility than we do, more abilities to be able to take on a dog. So I think they have a dog as well. So that would be two dogs in their home. So,
and Stella's owners are they're completely understanding of Dan and my reality, and were incredibly gracious, and just it was a really good experience. But I suppose, Dan, I was rushing off. I'm sorry,
No.
But just that as animal lovers, you and I are, we encourage people to certainly get pets, but really think about the accountability and the responsibility that pet ownership entails.
Exactly. And that's just that thinking through the process. But as far as the trip of what we did, of course, I'm excited to say this. Jennifer's has a milestone birthday coming up in November, and long story short, but when we first met, there were two things that I had working against me in Jennifer's eyes, and number one is I loved baseball. More than that, I love Bruce Springsteen, and Jennifer was less than impressed and happy with Bruce Springsteen. However, I had been able to win her over with Bruce's music, and she's become a fanatic, much like me. And so she had seen, at the time, I thought she'd only seen 9 shows. And I know that the last time we saw Springsteen, she was disappointed because thinking it was in January or March of 2023, thinking that would be the last time we would ever see Bruce. I ended up finding a way to get tickets to his show in Columbus, Ohio, which is conceivably a 5-hour drive from where we live. And so it would have been last Saturday. We drove down to Columbus because his concert at Nationwide Arena was Sunday night. And my head is still, I'm still putting the pieces back together with just how much my mind was blown by this over 3-hour concert. And so the whole thing was we were going to go to the Springsteen concert and drive home and pick Stella up on the way. But it's like, I could keep going on and on. I think that's why I wanted to talk about Stella first, because I wouldn't, just Springsteen has so much going for him in my eyes, my heart and everything. And he truly was helpful throughout my entire childhood, but even more so after I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, and that we went down, and it was, I guess that was just one of the most monumental things, but it's just taking that time and being accountable to each other, driving down, taking our time to get to Columbus, and just being accountable to each other and making sure that we were going to be strong enough to make that trip and ensure ourselves that it was going to be the epic trip that it needed to be.
And it was. And it was for my upcoming 50th birthday. I'm not ashamed to say that I'm going to be 50 in November.
Good for you. Well, yeah.
And Bruce is playing in Toronto, which is where Dan and I went on our honeymoon when we got married. So we thought that that would be a really epic. He's playing on my birthday in Toronto. But we just didn't think we could, A, get tickets, B, make the drive in November. And so I was sad because Mr. Springsteen is 74 years old. So when we did see our last concert, I thought it would be our last. So my sweet husband surprised me with tickets for this show in Columbus. And we held each other accountable because you are a graduate student, Dan. And you were nearing the end of the semester at the time of the concert 2 weeks ago. So you had to get your homework done and get everything taken care of. And that meant that some other things had to get shifted so that you could get that schoolwork done and also take care of your health. You know, it's not like you're pulling an all-nighter because that wouldn't be good for you. So we did shift and we maybe slacked off on some things so that we could go to this concert, which was amazing.
And I think that was the big thing, because it was, I mean, this was the last final project for this particular class of my online graduate program. And it's the last thing. So I had this 150-point presentation, like PowerPoint, to do. But that's just where you, in your gracious sense, I mean, I was able to get up the day of the concert at like 7 o'clock. You stayed in bed sleeping while I worked on my project. And just that we didn't spend time on that Sunday running around seeing things in Columbus, pre-concert prep and stuff. It's like you gave me the latitude to get my homework done, to get my project. You proofread things as you always do. And it was done. I mean, everything was done and turned in by like 4 o'clock. The concert was at 7:30. And I mean, there was still plenty of time to prep. But I always say, as I told you, I feel like we concert prep every day and have concert prepped every day since I was a 12-year-old. So, but it was, but that was the thing. It's like, that's what was important. That's what we were accountable for. And so I think it's just that continued effort to make ourselves accountable. And I think that's one of the biggest things that we in the MS community that we can do for each other is to be there to hold each other accountable, like through your Facebook communities, through everything like that. It's just like always be checking, always being there to encourage, support other people, to help them, reach, the goals that they're setting out for themselves. And if you feel like you're alone, put yourself out there in those communities, talk to your, you know, your family, friends that are right there with you to get that help you need to really strive to achieve, you know, the greatness that, you know, that you can do. I mean, in spite of this disease.
And while not everyone is a big concert fan or maybe aspiring to go back to graduate school or even go to college or whatever, what choice you make, we really think that it's important that you take care of your health and hold yourself to a standard where you're still trying to accomplish things. And I know just simple things like tying your shoes or cutting up. My goodness, I picked up a coffee cup.
Yeah.
And I have done it several times. My caregiver, Jen, got me this beautiful blue cup that is not incredibly heavy, but it is all kinds of beautiful. And I can pick it up and get myself coffee, and I'm thrilled. And that accountability is just that I've been riding my arm bike and trying to stretch and strengthen my arms a little bit, do a little more handwriting. I don't know what that all is. I would certainly assume that that's making it so that I can drink from a cup of coffee. And you, Dan, you are trying to stretch your legs more. And granted, you are going to school, but you're still trying to be active and keep moving. So I think that this is so relevant. And sleep, you know, I'm looking at the clock and I'm thinking we should probably start getting ready to go to sleep soon so we can get that 7-hour window of sleep and keep our circadian rhythm in check.
And I think that is the big thing. And that's because, I look at the clock, and as much as we want to keep going, I mean, we just had so many other things we had to do today, but we knew that we had time to record this podcast tonight and still make it in time to get a good night's sleep. And
I am planning this week to get something on our blog, A Couple Takes on MS, with photos about the Springsteen concert. There will be one of the most epic songs. I was so, the crowd in Columbus really came out strong. And so we'll have a recording for that. And hopefully some cute photos of us in the venue. So I invite anybody to just check it out and read our writing and let us know what you think. It's a couple takes on MS.com. And
that's the other thing is, you know, if you have questions or you have any comments about accountability and how you hold yourself accountable and how it's best to encourage other people to accomplish their dreams and goals that they set out for themselves, reach out to us on our email is acoupletakesonms@gmail.com. And just let us know. And you can also follow us on Twitter @coupletakesonms. And thanks for holding us accountable and getting this podcast done and continuing to send your comments and everything to us. And until next time, we are A Couple Takes on MS. I'm Dan Digman, and I'm walking.
And I'm Jennifer Digman, and I'm rolling.
And we're A Couple Takes on MS, and together we're moving forward. Take care.